With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
1011 WJRR, Orlando's Rock Station. Good morning. It's Lynch and Taco. I'm Pat Lynch. Taco Bob's here. And Taco, I got to give you credit again. You booked some incredible guests on this show. How you lined up Dave Grohl is beyond me, but he's on the phone right now. Dave, what's happening?
What's going down, fellas? How are we going?
I don't know what you're doing up at this ungodly hour, but hey, we're glad you called us this morning, bud.
Probably hadn't gone to sleep.
Maybe I'm playing through. Maybe I haven't gone to sleep. I'm just keeping the party going. That works.
Big news in Foo Fighter world. New album coming out in February.
Indeed. We made a record, and we're going to let people hear it on February 5th. I'm very excited.
This album, take us through this a little bit. Obviously, this has been a crazy year for everybody all around the world. Was this album on the schedule, or was this something once we realized what was going on and all of us were, you know, kind of in orbit, in our own little orbits, did you guys have to take a look and go, are we going to be able to record something here? If so, how are we going to do it, and what's the time frame on this? How did it all play out?
Well, actually, we started writing this record like almost 2 years ago because we knew that 2020 was going to be like our biggest year ever. We're like, woo, it's our 25th anniversary. It's going to rule. We're going on this huge stadium tour. We're going to, like, circle the planet, like, partying 25th anniversary style. It's going to be amazing. So we wrote this album, and we started recording in, like, the summer of 2019, started kind of fooling around, making demos. We moved into this funky old house down the street from where I live and put the drums in the living room. I was doing vocals next to the toilet and bathroom, and the control room was in the bedroom, and it was like, it was going to be amazing. And we decided, okay, let's make, like, a party album. Like, let's make it, like, this is going to be like our David Bowie's Let's Dance record. It's going to be, all the songs will have groove and huge choruses, and it's going to light the stadium up, man. It's going to be huge. And then we finished it in February. It was supposed to be released on the 4th of July, which was the 25th anniversary of our first album being released. And we had the tour booked, and the trucks had the equipment in it, and t-shirts were made, and blah, blah, blah. Then, everything shut down. Yeah. And so we just kind of sat and waited. We're like, okay, how long is this going to last? And it's like a month would go by. We're like, okay, is it ready? No. Okay, let's wait another month. Another month would go by. Like, okay, are we ready? No. And then after like 6 months, I was like, dude, I was like, can you hear me?
We got you.
So like, all of a sudden I heard like Jennifer Lopez or something. I'm like, what's going on? What was that?
Oh, that's...
I'm not quite sure where that would be coming from, but let's go with it.
Anyway, so, okay. So then we finally decided what we should do is just release it because, you know, we write and record these songs for people to hear. It's not just like ticket to a stadium tour. It's like, no, we make it so that people can sing along, whether it's in their kitchen with a bottle of Crown Royal or it's, you know, or it's in the stadium bouncing around while we're on stage. I was like, you know, especially now, I was like, people need music for like relief or escape or just to bring them joy and happiness. So that's why. So we decided to put it out now. It was like, okay, it's time. Let's go.
Excellent.
You say Bowie, yes. That's one of the first things that we noticed with Shame Shame. It was like, that has almost a Bowie feel to it. Or like Pat Lynch said, kind of like Rolling Stones when they made their switch over. Remember, Pat?
You guys, you don't color inside the lines, and you've said it yourself. You're celebrating 25 years. If you want to step out and do something a little bit different, you guys have been doing that all along. So awesome, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because I looked back at the last 25 years of music that we had made, and I'm like, okay, we've done like a really fast, noisy, thrash, kind of dissonant, distorted rock. And I'm like, oh, we've also done the acoustic thing with like really gentle, beautiful orchestration. I was like, you know, the one thing that we haven't done is make like a real groove-oriented record. So when we started recording, we recorded a few songs that kind of sounded like Foo Fighters stuff you would recognize. And then we recorded Shame Shame. And I was like, oh, my God, like, this is different than anything we've ever done. After 25 years, we've tapped into something that we've never really explored. Like, let's keep moving in that direction. The whole album doesn't sound like Shame Shame. Like, there's songs that you're going to hear and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's definitely like a hard, fast rock Foo Fighters song. But this song in particular, I was like, this is the one people should hear first, because you have to kind of present it in a way that's like, you know, I want 25 more years. I don't want to just like do the 25 we've already done. Like, I kind of want to move forward.
We're talking with Dave Grohl this morning from
You guys, there's a lot of music in the background.
I have no idea.
I feel like we're having this conversation like at a disco on South Beach.
I've got to give you major props, because I could hear the music in the background, too. It's from our hip-hop station, Pat. And I'm going, how in the hell is he actually conducting this interview when he's got that in his ear? I'm like, is he throwing a thing off?
Dave, what's crazy is we're in a temporary studio right now because our entire building is being renovated during all this madness. So I really can't even give you an answer as to where that might be coming from. But it'll make for a good story moving forward. You know, one of the best artists we could ever want to interview, and it gets screwed up by some other station infiltrating it.
Yeah, we had a disco interview with you. It was Dave Grohl-esque, if you would.
That's the thing. Hey, man, you know, we're sitting here talking about our band's dance record, and we've got, like, you know, a little pump in the background going for it. I'm kind of into it.
All right. Hey, couple other questions real quick, because I know you're short on time. We're up against the wall here. Celebrating the 25 years. After, you know, Nirvana ended, it's well documented. I've watched and read all these interviews with you. You know, you went through a difficult time trying to get yourself back on the musical horse, if you will. And then you decided to do Foo Fighters, which was in the beginning just you doing everything. And then you finally said, okay, we're going to do a band with this. You got a band together. At that point, did you ever envision that going on for 25 years and 10 albums and the band rising to be arguably one of the top three or four rock bands of the last 25 years?
No, I didn't. Like, I honestly, like, you know, after Nirvana ended, I didn't want to play music anymore. I didn't want to be in a band. You know, our whole worlds were just turned upside down, and we were left just trying to make it day to day and get through everything. And, you know, eventually I realized that the one thing that always healed me was music. And I'd recorded things by myself for years. I mean, since I was a teenager. And I thought, okay, well, I'll go down to the studio close to my house and book 5 days and record something just to get it out of me, you know, just to kind of purge all of this stuff. And I made a tape, and I gave the tape out to a bunch of people. And then a record company called and said, hey, we want to put it out. And I was like, well, it's not a band. And then I called Pat Smear, who was in Nirvana with me, and then called Nate and William. And it just, you know, there never really was any sort of like career aspiration. It was just like, man, I've been a musician since I was 10 years old. I'm a musician. I have to do this. Like, this is what my heart tells me to do. So we jumped in a van and started playing shows. And every time we'd make a record, we'd be like, okay, should we do it again? Okay, let's do it one more time. And we'd make another record. Then it's like, should we do it again? And then like, okay, let's make one more. And in a way, we still feel that. I mean, at this point, we've been a band so long that if we were to break up, it'd be like your grandparents getting a divorce. Like, why? Like, you know, so it's like, so we just, it's, I've been in this band for half of my life. So it's more than music to me. It's more, it's like this group of people that I love and consider to be my family. And so when we do it, you know, it really, it's all about like having hope and keeping the ball rolling and looking, having something to look forward to. Like, that's what life should be, I think. You know, I think that you should wake up every day with hope that there's something on the horizon. And that's what the Foos have always been. But, oh, my God, no way did we ever consider or imagine that it would last this long and be like it is now. Just no way. If you've ever taken, like, a long bike ride or a mountain bike ride, when you're facing a steep hill, you never look at the top of the hill. As you're looking down at your front wheel, and you're just pedaling. Like, okay, but at some point, I'm going to come over the crest of this hill. But you never look at the top. You just kind of look at the front wheel. That's what we've been doing for 25 years.
Wow, because it is healing. I know we're up against the clock, Major. You segged right into one thing I wanted to ask. If you were not a musician, I know that's so hard to pull out of your head. What one profession, if you could choose any, would it be if you were not a musician?
I bet I know the answer to this one.
Well, I'd probably be a super kick-ass drywaller. I don't know, actually.
I thought a painter, to be honest.
I thought you were going to give us the barbecue answer, Dave.
Oh, barbecue. Well, I mean, listen. The funny thing about barbecue, I love doing barbecue because it's not my job. You know, I did consider opening a restaurant. I did consider having a line of sauces. I did consider, you know, making it some sort of, like, profession. But, dude, it's almost like a musician. You know, one of the things about being a musician is that there's two types. There's careerists and there's hobbyists, right? So as a careerist, you sort of like work within the confines of like what you should and should not do. Should I do this? So I don't know if that's good for my career. Should I do this? No, that'll be good for my career. As a hobbyist, you just don't care. You just do it because it's fun. And so that's kind of what the Foo Fighters are like. It's like, it's not that we don't care, but, and it's the same thing with making that barbecue. It's like, there's no right or wrong. You know, if I put too much, you know, turmeric in my rib rub, I'm like, whatever. I'm going to eat it anyway. I'm not going to get like a bad Yelp review. It's like, cool. Let's just feed it to the, everyone's drunk anyway. Just eat it.
All right, Dave, one final comment, please, on the news of this last week or so. Stevie Nicks and Bob Dylan selling their publishing rights for gobs of money.
Well, I mean, I got to be honest. It's hard to put a dollar sign on any song, I think, because I think people make songs to be heard, and they might mean something to you and not something to someone else. So hearing that, you know, hearing that they've given their rights to their music to someone else, I mean, it happens. Like, that's just what, that's, artists will do that sometimes and decide, like, all right, you know, cool. You take it, and I'll go hang out in Maui for a while, whatever. So, you know, God bless him. I mean, listen, I thought $300 million, that is a lowball number for a Bob Dylan catalog.
Yeah.
Because that's as much, I mean, to me, that's like the constitution of rock and roll right there. So, I mean, who knows? What does Bob Dylan do with $300 million bucks? Right there. That is a lot of weed.
Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, the new album, Medicine at Midnight, hits stores February 5th. Dave, thanks for calling the Lynch and Taco Show at WJRR this morning.
All right, fellas, we'll talk to you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.